Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Shot clock at 2 with 1. Out of bounds, fading away, 3-ball. Grabbed by Curry off the air ball. Curry in transition. Behind the back dribble. Stops on a dime. Shoots a 3. Front rim. Got the roll. Off the glass. Curry!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Roy, the play-by-play voice on the Warriors radio network. They wouldn't have made the playoffs anyway, but now will not have the option with the NBA's new return to play plan unveiled late last week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome NBC Sports Bay Area analyst and former Warrior himself, Kalena Azubuike. Kalena, let's talk hoops first. The NBA revealed its return to play plan. The Warriors are not involved. What have you thought of the way they've handled this return plan, this comeback?
I think it's good that they're going to have a chance to ramp up. The 22 teams are going to have a chance to kind of ramp up to the playoffs. I think it's going to end up being a better product in the playoffs than it would have been if they would have just said, we're canceling the regular season and we're gonna go ahead into the playoffs. I get it too with the revenue. I think it's a several hundred million dollar difference when it comes to playing those regular season games and having them canceled altogether. 8 games, teams are gonna have to get into a rhythm and hopefully stay away from injuries. You'll have a little training camp and hopefully guys are able to get back into a rhythm, and as a team, teams in general will be able to get back into rhythm and get closer to what they were doing and the way they were playing before the shutdown. There's some questions I have, though, when it comes to testing. So there's going to be practices. Do you test before practice? And then on game day, do you test before shoot-arounds? And then when you leave, go take your nap, go eat, whatever, then you got to get tested again before the game. So maybe 2 tests in one day, and then you're going to do that every time. How sustainable is that? Can you keep, you know, your star players and everybody on the team away from getting the coronavirus?
Yeah.
I think it's definitely going to be some different challenges. People talk about, well, is whoever wins it, is it going to be an asterisk next to this season when it comes to winning that championship? And I think there's those challenges, the new challenges, and then also challenges like, well, you're swapping out, having to go through that grueling playoff travel schedule for, can you stay away from going stir crazy? I mean, almost 2.5 months, teams are going to be confined to Orlando, and obviously it's a big campus or whatever, but you can't go anywhere. You got to be confined in there. They got to make sure no one's exposed to the public, or just at least keep that at a minimum and try to keep players safe. So it's not going to be easy. And the players kind of, again, got to keep away from going stir crazy and stay mentally engaged and come ready to play every game without fans, without being able to feed off the energy of the fans. Fans can change the game. There's not going to be fans there. It's going to be like a pickup game practice type of feel. Can you get yourself ready to play and have that same kind of playoff intensity? Because intensity ramps up in the playoffs, and the fans and the whole atmosphere is a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. All that's gone. home court advantage is gone. Away games and us against the world mentality is gone. So it's a totally different way of having to approach going into the playoffs and really being at your best. So there's a ton of different things that teams have to consider there. And it will feel like an incredible accomplishment for whoever does win the championship, in my opinion.
Kalena, the idea of these guys ramping back up after shutting down for a couple of months, I think appeals to me. And you can speak to that just as someone who played in the NBA and played basketball for a long time. Logistically, how long do you think it would take you to feel comfortable running full court and going hard?
Oh, I've always been someone that's never gotten out of shape that quickly because I used to love working out. But everybody's different. Every body type is different. There's certain guys that if you take a week off and don't do anything, they're out of shape. And then there's certain guys like Stephen Curry who are just freaks of nature and could probably take 2 months off and come back, and it takes them maybe a week of just running and playing in games to get back into game shape. But the thing that's for sure is you can't get into game shape just from training camp and
right.
running sprints and doing drills and all those different things. It only comes from playing games, and maybe you can play a bunch of pickup games and practice and get ready for that, but it'll take certain guys longer to get into game shape, but it'll definitely take a minute for us to see quality NBA basketball. I don't think we'll see that the first game of the restart of the regular season, the first game of those 8 games. I think teams will be a little sloppy, at least to start for a few games. Some teams may take them a little longer. It may even leak over into the playoffs where you can tell, okay, this team isn't what they were. They got to get things right. Their defense and their sense of urgency on the defensive end and how connected they are on the defensive end and their defensive principles aren't all the way back on point yet. Offensively, they don't have that same flow. They're still guys working the rust off, and that's another thing. What can your stars and your key players work that rust off and get back to the point where they're as lethal as they were? There's so many different variables that come into play, and whichever team can get all that figured out and get back to being that elite team is going to have an advantage for sure.
Kalena Azubuike, former Warriors player, now with NBC Sports Bay Area as a TV analyst. And you had an opportunity, I see, to do a bit of a Zoom call and kind of eulogize the season for Golden State since the Warriors won't be in Orlando. How would you describe the 2019-20 campaign for the Warriors?
Crazy. Crazy kind of season. But I had a blast, though. I had so much fun. There was so many injuries. I think if I could describe this season with one word, it may be necessary. I think that the Warriors have worked so hard over the last 5 years, and Klay gets a break by way of injury. Steph, I think it's almost a blessing in disguise that he hurt his hand and got injured and had to sit out. He got a little bit of a break. He came back and played one game, and now he's done, so he gets even more of a break. But the Warriors have been playing so much basketball the last 5 years, and it was almost needed for the key guys to be able to take a break. Draymond played a lot this season, but he sat out games and understandably so, and let these young guys come in and show us, okay, who's going to be a contributor in the future. And we learned a lot this season. And I think Eric Paschal showed us a lot. He's going to be one of those guys that maybe next year is coming off the bench, and he's a key guy in the rotation that can come in and change it up. He's got a lot of tools, and he's a weapon. He can score from the mid post. He's got that mid-range game. He's super explosive, attacking the basket. Him and Draymond developed kind of a nice rapport. And everybody loves him. Jordan Poole kind of came on strong there. He's a talented guy. So the young guys kind of showed us a lot this season, but it was definitely unusual. That's another good word to describe it. Unusual type of season. All the injuries. Obviously, the Warriors are used to playing for something, really competing. It wasn't that this season, but they really showed the kind of internal competitive mentality that even in a season like this, there were games where you watch the Warriors and they can surprise you. And they had the whole league's respect. I think Coach Kerr had the whole league's respect in the way that he coached these guys and kept them positive and kept them playing hard and kept them competing. And even though this season was what it was and everybody kind of knew it with the injuries and everybody knew that we probably weren't going to go to the playoffs and all that, those different things, the guys kept a good attitude. The team morale was great. And in the locker room and everywhere, the joy was still there. And they still came out and played hard. You saw Steve Kerr on the sidelines, still coaching guys up, standing up the whole game when they weren't supposed to be winning games. He's clapping it up. He's trying to get the guys to play hard, trying to make sure they understand the system. So for the future, when Steph and everybody's back, these young guys have had this experience of this season and going through it and grinding and realizing they're going to lose games but staying positive. And it'll only serve them better come next season when they're playing for something, because best believe it is a one-year dip and the Warriors are coming back next season with a vengeance. Clay, Draymond, Steph, everybody be ready. They got the draft pick, they got that asset, they got the young guys that have gotten the experience. It is going to be exciting to watch, and I can't wait to be there, because we had a blast calling this season and all the blowouts and all the weirdness that happened. Can you imagine how much fun we're going to have calling those games next season when they're actually playing for something and they're competing?
So it's a bit of advantage for those teams that, I mean, it's disappointing, I would think, not to be able to finish your season. But in terms of the quick turnaround, so whoever ends up, you know, playing deep right into the postseason is going to have to turn around and about a month later be back on the court for training camp. So a good advantage for the Warriors and other teams that aren't finishing the season there. But how much does it matter that they don't have a chance to finish out this campaign?
Honestly, in the Warriors' case, maybe it would have been nice to have Andrew Wiggins and Steph develop more of a rapport, but I don't think it really matters, honestly.
Okay.
When you look at next season for the Warriors in particular. Now, maybe there's some teams like the Hawks, and Coach Pierce was saying they are dying to play. They want to play so bad. They got a bunch of young guys, and most of their key guys are really young. And so they needed that game experience, no matter how it came, even if it was coming in the form of them not really playing for a playoff spot or anything. But the Warriors are different, right? The Warriors know how to win. They've been there before. They got that championship pedigree. They still have guys that have won championships and that have been with the Warriors for a long time. So I don't really think eight more games for the Warriors would have made a huge difference when we're looking at next year. I don't think we're going to be sitting here next year going, man, the eight games the Warriors missed after the shutdown really has affected the way they're starting this season. I don't think that's going to be the case. Again, you said, like you said, they get a longer extended break, and these teams that are playing, especially the team that goes all the way, is going to have about a month turnaround, which is going to be ridiculous. They're going to have to navigate that and figure out, okay, not everybody is going to go super hard here for training camp and everything like that. But it's interesting. The season starting in December, and that's something that Adam Silver has kind of wanted to do. But it's definitely an advantage for the teams that are playing. They'll have more of a break and they'll be ready to go, and especially for the Warriors being all the way back healthy and back in the Chase Center, hopefully. And
yes.
And it's definitely going to be something they're excited about. Maybe they wanted to play. Obviously, guys are gamers, and Steph and Draymond, all those guys would have loved to maybe get back and play ball. But I think they'll be happy come next season when everybody's healthy and ready to go.
Time will tell, but you definitely take the Warriors for granted at your own risk if they are well-rested and healthy. Kalena Azubuike from NBC Sports Bay Area. Hang on, going to do a quick update, and then I want to ask you about what's happening in our nation these last 2 weeks.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We're spending some time with Kalena Azubuike, former NBA player. In fact, spent a good portion of his career with the Warriors, now an NBC Sports Bay Area analyst for the Warriors, and also a man who is well-traveled in both his personal and professional lives. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kalena, thank you for hanging with us through the break. As I mentioned, you're well-traveled in our country, in other countries. As you look around at what's happened in our nation the last 2 weeks, what is your reaction, your perspective on what we've seen since George Floyd was killed?
Yeah, I watched that video of George Floyd and the murder that happened there. I was heartbroken and still heartbroken. It's sickening, and it's beautiful to see Black people and non-Blacks come out and express their outrage and protest and let their voices be heard. And listen, it's something that, you know, has been our plight for over 400 years now. And the thing is, I'm looking at this going, okay, what are some of the solutions? What can we do? And we need police reform. That's the police brutality. That's the biggest thing I look at. We need police departments everywhere to really take a close look at how these policemen are scrutinized. Chauvin, he had, 17 complaints, and he had all kinds of issues in the past. Right. And if there was even a little bit of an investigation, or if he was scrutinized even a little bit, he doesn't even have the opportunity to do what he did to George Floyd. So I think even before you get to looking into the current cops, it has to start at the entry level and job interviews. It has to be harder to become a cop. They need some lengthy psychological tests where you're basically giving someone the racist test without them even knowing it, and they're answering questions. There needs to be job interviews, and I think led by mostly Black people, because we kind of have that racist radar that we're just born with because of what has transpired and what we've been through as a people. And you can sit across from someone, and even if they're trying to conceal the way they really are, a lot of times they'll slip up and they'll say something, or they'll let you into how they really are. Mm-hmm. And so that needs to happen. And I think if we could somehow get police departments to implement better practices when it comes to making sure these bad apples don't even get a chance to become a cop, because it's like being a pilot, right? If someone says, well, I'll let you be a pilot, but if I find out you're a terrorist, I'm going to punish you. But by that time, it's too late, right? People have already died. You got to make sure they're not able to become a pilot in the first place. So there's got to be better practices to be able to keep these bad apples out. And one thing I like to see, I actually tweeted it, I would love to see all 30 NBA teams take key guys from their team and go visit their local police department. Whoever wants to be involved from the team, go visit their local police department and have some key talking points and ask questions and have this conversation and talk to the police chief or the highest ranking policeman involved and see if they can't get them to implement some of these practices and make sure that at the entry level that they're doing everything they can to keep these bad apples out. And then maybe even have them sign a promise to implement this and do a better job and put it on camera and put these people on the spot, put the police chiefs and the high ranking policemen, whoever it is that's in charge of mm-hmm. being able to implement something like this, put them on the spot and make them provoke change and bring that about. I think that would be super effective. Can you imagine the NBA has 30 of the biggest cities in the nation, and right. if the local teams got together and just visited their police departments, and if it was as successful, they could do it again and just keep going to different ones in the area, different police departments. I think that would be really impactful. And if the NBA did something like that, maybe the NFL follows suit, and that would really have a huge impact. And so Yeah, it's really complicated, and there's no one thing that's going to change it right away. But and one more thing, when we as Black people say Black Lives Matter, then other people and non-whites that have stepped up and let their voices be heard, and we love them for it, and it's a beautiful thing. But when we say Black Lives Matter, we don't mean Black Lives Matter only.
Right.
Yeah, it's like if you have a neighborhood and you see one house on fire, the fire truck doesn't come in and hose every house down because every house in there matters. No, they focus on the one house that's burning. Right? So as Black people, our house has been burning for over 400 years. You know what I mean? So, you know, obviously we believe all lives matter, but that can't be a true statement. All lives can't matter until Black people are treated like their lives matter. And so that's all we're really saying. And right. It's kind of the same thing with what happened with Drew Brees. And as soon as he's asked the question, he starts talking about disrespecting the flag and all that. I mean, it's kind of the same tone, that dismissive tone. And it's kind of indicative of what's going on in our country, what the problem is in our country. Some of our best people that aren't Black, some of our best people and that aren't racist. Like, Drew Brees is not racist, right? He's done too much. He's shown that he's not racist. But some of our best people are blinded by the fact that our experience is not their experience. So, you know, they'll focus on, you know, something else and kind of avoid the issue and choose, almost unconsciously choose to not focus on what the real issue is.
To not
focus
see
on
it.
Police brutality and listen,
right,
and all of that. So that's kind of the issue, right? And obviously there's so many great people that are not racist. They're not racist, but they're blinded by the fact that this is not their experience. And so, you know, it's time to listen. It's time to have those conversations and really bring about change. And it's not white versus, it's not Black versus white or Black versus any other race. It's right versus wrong.
Right.
And what's right has to win out.
Kalena, obviously I just appreciate your thoughtfulness, and you've obviously spent a lot of time thinking about this, and thank you for sharing it with us. When you bring up the point about the neighborhood, or the analogy, the neighborhood and the Black Lives Matter, and people respond with the All Lives Matter, I keep thinking, duh, of course. Like, that's
right.
That's not an issue. No one is saying that all lives don't matter by saying that Black lives do. So thank you for that analogy, because I've never heard anyone use that particular illustration. But yeah, of course all lives matter. No one's disputing that.
Right, right, exactly. And that's all we're trying to say. Like, we love all people. You know, it's one of those things where you just look at, there's a people group that are hurting, right? Black people are hurting. And for all lives to matter, Black lives have to matter. And we have to get to the point where that's a reality. And obviously, with everything that we've seen, that is not a reality right now. Black people haven't been treated that way. And that's really not up for the debate, right? So we've seen the videos, and it's not like it's been, you know, been happening more. It's just that everybody has a camera on their phones now, and you're able to film this, so we're able to see it. So, right, that's not up for debate. So obviously, we love all people, and we're for equality and justice for all, and that's what we're fighting for here. So, and as soon as everybody kind of starts to understand what you understand and what a lot of people do understand, we'll be in a much better place.
Before I let you go, really quickly, are you hopeful, encouraged by what you see over these last couple weeks?
I definitely am. Listen, the three other cops have been charged. You know, I don't think it should have taken that long, but it's, you know, they've been charged aiding and abetting in a murder, and Chauvin is been upgraded to second degree.
Right.
I still don't know how it's not first degree, but listen, things are happening. Things are happening, and people are taking notice. I think people are stepping up. All the NBA teams, well, not all of them, but all of them, most of them have stepped up and given a statement and promised to be a part of the solution. And it's beautiful to see. People are stepping up and really springing into action. So I am encouraged. I am encouraged. And listen, things have gotten better from the time of Martin Luther King and civil rights and all that. It's progressively gotten better, but we still have a long way to go. And I think everybody's kind of realizing that.
Well, I'm encouraged by hearing that you are hopeful and encouraged. That means a lot to me and this conversation as well, because you're right. It's about what we do now when the protests stop and it becomes, I use my air quotations, back to normal, then the actions have to follow after that. So you can follow Kalena on Twitter at KalenaA7. Kalena Azubuike, who is with the Warriors and now with NBC Sports Bay Area. But I'm just so grateful for your willingness to share your perspective and to share your experience and also to remain hopeful. So thank you for that, Kalena. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, great talking to you. I appreciate you, Amy. It's always great to talk to you.
A lot in that conversation with Kalena. Still processing, really. I love his word picture, his analogy about Black Lives Matter and the burning house in the neighborhood. Yes, all lives matter. They should, but they can't until Black Lives Matter too. Just so thoughtful, and I'm so thankful that he was willing to share his emotions on our show. We're halfway through. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.